Right now, it is time for us to pick a couple of newspaper people out of thin air, and that is our good friends over at the Berkshire Edge, Marcy and David, and they join us just about every week at this time. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I'm just listening, enjoying your political palaver there. May the Republicans continue to be as foolish as they showed themselves this round.
You know, it matters, even if you have an incumbent, it matters how you're going to campaign. And if you don't campaign on local issues and you've got another candidate who's campaigning on local issues and whose father was governor 12 years ago, or politics is a strange world, and we're seeing it now. I mean, we're seeing Virginia basically a Democratic state again after 25 years, and some of these breakthroughs down south. So it's going to be interesting to watch national politics for that reason.
It has been interesting to watch national politics.
Yes, it is. It's like the Chinese curse. Well, we live in interesting times.
It's also like Chinese food.
What happened in Arizona? I thought there was a race to watch in Arizona, and I haven't seen.
I haven't seen anything on any races in Arizona, but national politics is a lot like Chinese food. You get full right away, but then all of a sudden you get hungry again. So we'll see what happens. Let's go to Great Barrington and we'll start off
local
at the races. people once again gathering signatures. Now, you have to explain something to me. I see these stories and I read these stories, okay?
Yep.
And I see that there's a select board member who really is in favor of this. Now, I'm just going to play devil's advocate here because I don't know the whole situation. How strong of support does Lee Davis have? When I look at the people that are protesting that decision, is he just one person that's speaking for a bunch of? Is that just one person speaking for a bunch of people, or basically one person speaking for Suffolk Downs? I'm trying to figure that out.
It started that she was one person speaking for herself, because she is the newest. I mean, she's a select board member. There are five select board members, and she's the newest.
She had been on the finance committee prior.
Yeah, so she's been very involved locally. Yeah. She looked into, I mean, there was this question about local horse racing and who was going to make the decision, and she was really the only one on the select board that went deep enough to try to figure out how this was going to be decided, whether it was going to be decided locally or whether it was going to be decided by the state. And she discovered that the process for decision-making really was not going to be in local hands, that it was going to be decided that I don't know the details, but that the state would make the decision. And so she raised awareness of this, and as a result, she has, you know, also raised a crowd of supporters. And there has been some tension on the select board itself, because the other four members are, you know, concerned that she's acting very autonomously and trying to put things on the agenda without the cohesion of the support of the full select board. Not that they necessarily disagree with her, but that they feel that she's going outside procedures. So she has become slightly controversial.
You know,
and the issue that she has raised, because she raised it and because people began to understand, you know, the problem in the decision-making process, you know, suddenly a movement has arisen. So now she is speaking for a group of people, but I don't think she's speaking for anybody in particular. I mean, I think she has raised the issue of whether or not this is going to be a local decision.
Right.
That's
right. And horse racing did take place at the Great Barrington Fairgrounds years ago.
Back once in the late 90s.
It came back.
They did it
but
one
what
summer.
Happened was in the late 90s, excuse me, the fairgrounds was destroyed by a, or badly damaged by a tornado.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, someone is
the owner.
The owner it was sitting vacant for many years, and then a local couple, Bart Elsbach and Janet, his wife Janet, bought it and restored it, basically, and so it's now suitable for other horse racing and other agricultural activities there, like a regular fairgrounds. But people object to the treatment of horses is what this is about.
Now, can I ask
and I happen to I agree with them that the horses aren't treated very well at this level of horse racing.
But sounds like this problem, this legal problem, sounds a lot like the legal problem that faces the town of Salisbury and planning zoning, where they tried to enforce zoning rules on Lime Rock Park. Okay, Lime Rock Park. It's in court now, because Lime Rock Park wants to expand its hours. State of Connecticut is the one who determines whether they can expand their hours. And here's where the monkey wrench gets thrown in Connecticut. There's other racetracks in Connecticut, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they
other
don't...
Other
car racetracks. And they do not want to see their operations all of a sudden. They've been dealing with the state for years. They don't want to have to deal in their towns with their local zoning they just don't want to go through that. So now it's in the state Supreme Court deciding whether or not Salisbury, whether this can go forward, whether the Planning and Zoning Commission has the right to try to set hours there or not. And so it's on hold. It's on hold until the Supreme Court makes a decision. But it sounds a lot like the same problem that you're facing in Great Barrington, where there's other racetracks in Massachusetts that are governed by the state, that are allowed and licensed by the state, and how that works in with home rule doesn't always jive like the gears in the clock.
Well, that's it. And our Adam Hines, our state representative, our state senator, originally was in favor of the horse racing, and he has withdrawn his. He had made a proposal, I guess, proposal for legislation, and he has withdrawn it and withdrawn his support for it now that he's seen what the concerns are on the local level. So there is no legislative support from
it has generated huge numbers of letters and comments on our site about this issue, and people say, why are we objecting to something that's going to bring visitors to town?
We had a letter today that made me laugh, but I'm trying to find it now. But the person said, "Of course, how silly to want to bring people to town to eat in Great Barrington restaurants and buy things in Great Barrington stores. How silly." Here it is. He says, "Let's ban horse racing or any other activity that would result in people going to Great Barrington restaurants, staying in hotels, or buying things in local shops. Why do something that would employ local residents and generate tax revenue for the town?"
There are three sides to every story.
There are, right. But at the same time, we have had stories of both the League of Women Voters and League of Women Voters trying to increase voter participation on Election Day, and also, the people around the horse racing issue who are raising signatures for a home rule petition. So there's a great deal of sort of voter activity in and around this area now.
Well, it's good that...
Which is very exciting because...
It's good to have taxpayer input.
Definitely.
And it's also not bad as long as it's controlled, to have debate on these issues, not only the ethical debate of whether horse racing is good or not, but is it good for the town or not, tax-wise? Is this going to happen? That debate is fine as long as it stays civil. That's what you always hope, that this debates like this.
Well, this is a very vigorous debate, okay. And you know in Massachusetts, with our town meeting form of government, the opportunity to gather enough signatures to call for a town meeting is always there on issues such as this.
Yeah, well,
that's what they're doing. They're gathering.
And it'll be a big fight because there are people like this letter writer, you know. I mean, and the issue is more complicated because it's both an issue of, it's an issue of local rule, but it's also an issue of where this will lead. I mean, people are concerned that this is not just horse racing, but that it's going to be the beginning of off-track betting and gambling in Great Barrington. And the other whole aspect of it is that people are very concerned about the mistreatment of the animals. That this is not top thoroughbred racing. These are sort of broken down three and four.
Well, they're not broken down, but they're not the top tier of thoroughbreds. That's for sure.
And there, you know, and people do remember times at the Great Barrington Racetrack where horses broke down in the middle of the race, and a curtain was brought up, and the horse was shot on the track.
Yeah, I've seen that actually, it's a horse breaks its leg, it's
done.
Well, what they do is they race horses that are a little lame, and they shoot them up with butazolidin so they can't feel the pain.
Just like they do with football players.
Yeah, for instance, yeah.
Okay. We only have about 10 minutes left, and I want to move on to the story about, I find it highly interesting, about the Southern Berkshire Regional School District and students at Mount Everett High School are weighing in with their own newspaper.
Yeah. This issue of the Southern Berkshire Regional School District has just been having a meltdown of its administration, and now, fortunately, the students are weighing in on this themselves, and have started their own newspaper, to get their side of the story. But it's been last 6 or 8 months has just been a terrible time for that school district. It's been amazing. And it really seems to be that, you know, the district is getting fewer and fewer. It's under stress. And the administration is under stress, too, because there are fewer and fewer students there. And the pressure to merge with the district just to the north that's in Great Barrington is becoming, inevitable. And I think that's part of what is happening to the district, is that it's some major changes are in the works and on the horizon, and it's causing all kinds of stress, and that's the problem.
You know, I listen to these stories about the local school districts, and I remember when I was in high school, I graduated in 1971, and we had enough students where we had a very active student newspaper. Morris Rainville, the industrial arts head, started up a radio station that people volunteered and did work at.
Which, is that where you got your start?
That's exactly where I got my start. And even we had a school store that was run by student classes to raise funds, you know, selling notebooks, pencils, and stuff like that. And I think the population decline is so drastic now that the faces of the school, the shapes of the schools that they're constructed in today are totally out of date with what's going on, and that's why when I think about education in South County and looking at your stories, I think that in Connecticut it's the same way. You have to reshape your education to the students that are there. Focus it in on the students. I mean, I think people will lose a lot of control over education if they start looking at too big of a picture here.
Yep. But, you know, the students are, but as I say, this is the issues surrounding this district and its administration.
Yep.
The district has just been under a lot of pressure, and it's showing.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because what are the two key components of any school? The students and the teachers. And it seems like here in Connecticut and in Massachusetts and even in New York, administration, instead of being part of the plan, seems to be part of the problem.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the district is facing all kinds of
unprecedented changes.
Yes. Well, you know, for example, the superintendent, whom they brought in, has been in facing a kind of rebellion from her own former employees. One was a former Demas student who's brought speaking of whistleblowers, a whistleblower complaint against her, and she is suffering from another complaint that from an education caseworker, a special education caseworker, who said that she was a victim of who called workplace retaliation and against Beth Regabuto, the superintendent. So, I mean, this is the kind of issue that, rather than, you know, facing you know, dealing with educational issues, they're dealing with these personal rivalries and personality conflicts, and perhaps it's inevitable, given the fact that, you know, it's really the school district there is built for hundreds and hundreds of students, and they don't have that many. They maybe have half the enrollment they've had, you know, in recent years. So the decision has to be made about whether the most likely one is that they are going to have to join with Berkshire Hills. That's what's going to have to happen.
All right. Well, the next.
Well, and they'll get a better education as a result, because you know, they'll be able to have a greater variety of classes.
Yeah.
I can't let us end, though, without talking about the Great Barrington Airport, because once again, it's like the horse racing. It's like the plastic bottle ban. It's a story that just never goes away, and I don't understand. But anyways, the airport is planning to add more hangars. And I'm someone who used to fly and someone who flew out of the Kingston Airport. I tell you, in the mornings, I always appreciated when we had a hangar and I had to go out first thing in the morning in the wintertime. Much easier to prep the plane, much easier to store the plane.
So
much
you're
easier
a pilot?
I was a pilot at one point. Yes, I was.
Yeah. Whoa.
I was at one point. I flew 152s and 172s Cessnas. Ooh. But so I guess I have to I have to let it be known that I kind of support that the airport's there already, and I think that adding more hangars is probably not an overestimation of something that's really needed at the airport. I believe.
Well, but the neighbors, I mean, the issue is the neighbors don't want the noise. So they're afraid that this is going to attract more planes and it's going to be more unpleasant for them.
Well, right now, I mean, if you go to the airport and down Route 71 and, you know, the planes are all parked along the road there, I mean, along the verge of the runway, out in the open. And I'm sure they're thinking, gee, it would be nice to put these in hangars, you know?
Yeah, well, they are, right.
So they have proposed, you know, to build a bunch of new hangars, maybe six new hangars, and to house these planes. And but the argument has been the neighbors just don't like this airport. It's been there for many, many years. But you know, they just don't like the fact that there is an airport there at all. That's the real issue, I think.
Well, it's not like they're building a new terminal, but I, from the stories I'm reading, and your story, and your stories are great, because I see that even the even with the number of hangars they want to build, there's still going to be some planes on tie downs outside that. There's still not enough. There's still not enough. So, I mean, I think your reporting on it has been terrific, and it makes it very easy to understand what they want, what the airport wants.
But you know but the neighbors have always been complaining about the airport and any increase in potential increase in traffic there. So it's one of those pre-existing uses, you know.
Yeah.
And the neighborhood has gotten a little bit more high tone, and not just cornfields around it, and as it was probably when it was first laid out there, in the west Great Barrington.
All right, we have about 20 seconds left, and we want to recognize the services plan for Michael Ballin.
Oh yes,
on November this Sunday at 3 p.m.
He was a terrific local restaurateur and very innovative and. A real active supporter of the farm-to-table movement here, and was an early supporter of that, and so it was really a blow that he
died so young.
It was really a shame.
I have one more thing that I would like to add. We are running ads for census workers. And I am looking at the ad reports and the number of click-throughs, and I do want to emphasize that the census is trying to hire workers for not only southern Massachusetts, southwestern Massachusetts, but for Connecticut and New York as well, and having enough census workers is extremely important to preserve our federal funding, our representation in Washington, and so, you know, unless there are enough workers, there won't be an adequate census. So and they pay very well. These are very good jobs. They're short term, but they're very good. And I'd like to make a plea for anybody who has time and inclination to get in touch with the census. And it starts in January, and they need people now to sign up.
All right. Well, theberkshireedge.com is where you can go, theberkshireedge.com. And you also have your nice shiny magazine throughout the area as well.
Oh, yes, and we have a new issue out this week of berkshirescalendar.com magazine. It'll be, I know it's available, I mean, it's at Le Bon's, and it's in, and we have and a number of other places in Salisbury and Lakeville, and so it's a good overview of what's happening over the next 3 months, and we also have the calendar, which gives you complete information about what's happening.
All right, we'll speak to you guys.
Thank you for the chance to say that.
That's okay. We'll speak to you guys again next week.
Thank you.
Okay.
Take
Bye.
Care. That is the Berkshire Edge on air, theberkshireedge.com on the web.